Another side to good health, and that's good mental health.
So, the chocolate.
Is that right?
No, I'm joking.
No, man.
I'm joking.
You full of.
I'm joking.
We need a live, score.
1 to 10.
Pretty good.
What you got?
I'm a big. I'm gonna go 7. It's a 7 for me.
Would it help to know that it's vegan?
Go close up.
Does it help or hurt?
That means I can eat more of it.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Right.
It's got no calories.
I'm a big chocolate chip guy. Vanilla chocolate chip.
Mint chocolate chip?
I can't believe this gelato has no calories.
Right.
Yeah. No calories, right?
It's gone
nowhere.
Like
eating air. Yeah. So pretty much, I'm burning calories as I'm eating.
Exactly.
That's how it goes.
Plus, we're talking about being out in the sun all day.
Yeah.
Your body's already refreshing. Hot. It's like it's evaporating as soon as it hits the gut.
Yeah. Might as well. It's not even there.
Hits the tongue. Yeah.
It's not even there.
Did you get mic'd up already?
I think I did. He put something down my shirt. I don't know.
Pretty sure it was the microphone. So,
we're gonna go with the microphone.
Come ahead and
you want to hand it to
me? Yeah.
I got you.
You can just roll it.
Feel free to, when you
take
need
a,
to.
Take a break.
When I need to?
Yeah.
Hey, well, I'm just going to put this down.
It's hard to.
Yeah. Hang on. One more bite.
It was cool seeing you hold court out there with the clinic in the first tea program.
I appreciate it. Yeah. So she comes up and she's like, hey, welcome. I was like, so what do you want me to do? And she's like, well, you're emceeing it. And I was like, all right. Here we go. I'm gonna emcee this thing. And then I've done enough of them where I'm like, okay. Kids want to see you hit the ball far.
Yes.
Yeah. Tell a joke or two. Yeah. Q&A.
And you had the jokes out there too.
Oh, I appreciate it. I probably shouldn't have opened up with the jokes. Probably should have been an end because then all the kids want to do is tell jokes.
Yeah, that's it.
You opened the door's box.
I did. I really did. But we had some good ones. I got some in the tank now. So
that's good. So when you interact with First Tee kids, what is something that you like to share with them?
Yeah.
And what are some of the things that you learned from them?
Yeah. So I think anytime you're with the First Tee, right, you're trying to do not everything you can, but you're wanting to show them what it was like for you to be a kid and sit in that seat that they're sitting in right now, right? So for me, I love doing it because it gives me a glimpse of what I did.
Yeah.
You know, I was that kid that watched all the older guys play golf and went to golf tournaments and all this type of thing. So like, you want them to have fun with it, right? You want them to leave there going, man, I want to do that again, right? So I think that's the biggest thing is how do you make it memorable for them?
Yeah.
Engaging with them, talking with them, and really showing interest in what they're saying and what they're asking and answer the questions that they want to ask.
We talk a lot about the inner child. For us, the inner child work is crucial to our therapy, to our enjoyment on the golf course and our relationships with each other and our family and our friends and all that. Someone, a young person at the First Tee Clinic, asked you guys a question that we ask our guests on the show all the time, which is, if you could play a round of golf with a younger version of yourself, what would the conversation look like? Not even the advice necessarily, but like, what would you like geek out over with little Trey about?
Man, I think like, you know, because when you're a kid, man, like, you don't think about the grind, right? You love the grind, right?
Yeah.
You're there every day. I mean, when you're a kid growing up at the golf course in the summertime, you're literally there from as soon as you can get up there and then crying when your parents come and take you home, right?
Totally.
I mean, that's how it was. And now, you know, some days I'm like, I'm crying because I got to go, right?
Right.
It's work,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think, like, if I were a 12-year-old boy looking back, or if I was, obviously, but like, if I'm looking back at myself, right, I think it would be more like, man, like, that passion and love that you have for this game, like, don't let that wither away, right? You know, because, like, when you were young playing golf, man, there's nothing else you wanted to do.
That's it.
You literally played golf until you wanted to go to the pool to cool off, and then you got done, and you went and played more golf, right? And so, for me, it's like, man, don't lose that, because it's easy to lose that out here, because you don't want it, because it is our job. At the end of the day, it's our job, right? It's how we make money. It's how we provide for our families and all this stuff. But at the end of the day, too, like, we get to do what we love for a living,
right?
And that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And so just making sure to keep that passion. We did a game day yesterday. So game day is with FCA, and we have we probably had 50 kids out there, and they'd get under the ropes, ask questions with us, and walk with us. And that's what we, and we talked about it after the round, like, man, just don't lose that passion. If you have it and you love it, like, just don't let that go away, because it's easy to come out here on the grind and just go, man, I'm tired of it. And so, but that's work too. So,
so how do you keep that passion? I mean, like, what are some things that you do to make sure that golf stays fun for you?
I think for me, you know, I have a son now. I have a 2-year-old son, a 4-month-old son, and a 4-year-old daughter, right? And so I literally came out here yesterday with my son. I got down from the golf course. It was a long day. And he comes up to me. He's like, Dad, I want to go hit golf balls. And honestly, in the back of my mind, I'm going, man, I'm kind of tired. Like,
yeah.
I was like, but you know what? He wants to go hit golf balls, so we're going to hit golf balls. And watching him on that driving range, I mean, full hacks. I mean, just as fast as I can get him to him, right? Just swinging as hard as he can. And the smile that he had on his face, and my daughter being there, and my wife, and all that. Like, it just, man, it like, I, for me, like, just remembering that I have a gift. And I want to use that gift, right?
Yeah.
And so every day I'm very thankful and blessed to do what I do.
Yeah.
And the good Lord gave me a gift, and I want to honor that every day, and I want to go out and try and do the best I can for that.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
How has becoming a father or becoming a parent changed your perspective on the game of golf?
It's changed it a lot. You know, a lot for the good, and, you know, sometimes, you know, when you become a father and you're a husband and you're providing, sometimes it feels like work. Mm. You know, when you're not good at your job, you're not getting paid. For me, like, if I don't make cuts on weekends, I don't get paid. That means money I don't have to provide for my family.
Yeah.
Now, our good weeks are great, mm-hmm. you know, which is awesome. So I think it's trying to maintain. I heard it once from a guy one time. I forgot who it was. He was like, you know, we probably have our A stuff 3-4 times a year. Mm. The other time you're just hanging on for dear life. And it's true. I mean, you go ask these guys, right? John Rahm's a little exception right now. He's probably got it about every week, Scotty and all those guys. But I mean, if you really go ask them, they have their stuff 3-4 times a year. Now, the reason those guys are so consistent is even when they don't have their best stuff, they're able to contend, which is itself in a league in itself, right?
Right.
And so I think just understanding that golf is not a game of perfect.
Mm.
You know, it's, you know, I heard this from a friend of mine. It's, you know, every round of golf is a different card you're being dealt, right? Yeah. So, like, one day you're, you know, you deal, hey, I got great ball striking today, but my mind was a little weak. Right. Mm. So, like, you know, my ball striking overcame my mind. And then one day your mind is better than, you know, your chipping and putting. And so every day is a different card you're being dealt. Mm-hmm. And how do you accept that challenge each day? So I think that's really good. I think he would be okay me saying it. Brett McCabe told me that. So.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Shout out to that man.
Shout out to Brett. He's the man.
Yeah. You mentioned that it's a grind week in, week out.
Yeah, it is.
Understanding that and accepting that, I think, mm-hmm. is a good first step.
Yeah.
How do you stay mentally fresh week in, week out, especially when you're coming to an event like this, Wells Fargo Championship, designated event, big event,
yeah,
lot on the line. What do you do mentally? What practices do you do mentally to get yourself fresh and keep yourself in that, like, locked in space, knowing that it's a grind week in, week out?
So I obviously, when I'm here, I'm doing my work, right? I'm doing my TrackMan games. I'm trying to, you know, figure out my distance control, trying to get the best prep that I can possible for this tournament, right? And then when I leave here, I leave it here. I try my best. Sometimes I don't do that all the time, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes I bring work home with me, and, you know, I try not to do that. But I try to leave work here. And so for me, I love playing other things, right? Pickleball. And, you know, that's obviously one of the fastest growing sports in the world.
Right,
like
right.
Pickleball, having time with my kids. Yeah. When my family doesn't travel with me, we normally stay with guys in Airbnb. And so you grill out, you cook. You just find a way to refresh your mind in a sense of, like, just hanging out with either your family or your friends. And that kind of makes it to where it's not like a, you know, because at the end of the day, when I come home, if I shoot a 75 and my family isn't there and my friends are there, well, heck, they might make fun of me a little bit, which is fine.
Yeah.
You know, it's fine. Mm-hmm. And it's that banter.
Their day's coming.
It's the banter, right? It's the banter.
Because they know you got it in you.
And then when my family is there, right, it's, my son comes up to me. He doesn't ask me what I shot. He's just so happy to see me. And my daughter daughter and my other son. And so, yeah, I just think that when you have to leave work at work, and then when you come home, how you clear your mind is quit thinking about it. Like, I know it's easier said than done, but it's something you have to learn to do.
With three young kids, kind of built in, too.
Oh, yeah. I don't have time to think about work when I get home. It's all hands on deck.
Right. So when you're thinking about your family, clearly, you know, that's something you are passionate about. You bring that with you, even when they do and don't travel with you. But can you point to other parts outside of golf that you find joy and happiness in?
Yeah, absolutely. So my faith is a big part of my life, my faith. And so I really find enjoyment in diving into the Word. And so, and having conversations with the guys out here who believe in the same things I believe in as well. And so, and those are the people I really hang out with a lot. And so I feel like, you know, having that relationship with guys, that close bond, because we talk a lot every week. I mean, like you said, you bring up bringing a father, right? Well, there's a lot of guys out here that are fathers, right? Well, being a parent is, I don't know if y'all have children or anything, but it's tough. Like, you feel like you're losing more than you're winning,
every
right?
Every single day.
I mean, I was telling my caddy today on the range, I was like, if a four-year-old, if my four-year-old wrote a book with a 20-year-old mind, like, and she could speak like a 20-year-old, but it was a four-year-old, it would be the funniest book in the world. Like, dad didn't give me a cookie, he's a jerk. Like, you know, like, I mean, like, you know, and I'm gonna be crazy now, right? Or my son, you know, he's like, dad's home, he's the best ever, you know, like, all this kind of stuff, right? And so, that to me, that I bring back my faith and all the guys that we hang around with. We just ask each other questions. Yeah. Like, we're constantly trying to encourage each other and build each other up. And so, because like I said, whether it be golf or family or whatever, you know, life's hard.
Yeah.
And so you try to do the best you can of just kind of coming together as guys and do the best we can just to kind of build each other up.
I'm glad you mentioned the community aspect of life on the road too, because
absolutely.
I think from the outside it can appear like golf is an individual sport, which it is.
It is, yeah.
But there's clearly community here between you all.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really special thing to shed light on, particularly like the three of us, we talk about platonic male love all the time. Like the joy that we get in expressing love for each other.
Yeah.
Golf breeds that. Golf can give you that opportunity. So appreciate you sharing
absolutely.
That.
Because it is. It's a family out here.
Yeah.
Like, it is an individual sport. Yes. You know, am I trying to beat everybody out here? Absolutely. But I mean, it's, you know, you do, if you're out here long enough, you get to know these guys on a personal level. You get to see them become fathers. You get to see them get married and all that stuff, and you become part of that stuff, and it's special.
That's cool.
Let's talk Wells Fargo real quick. I mean, we're here at
Might
Quail.
Well.
We're back.
Quail. What a great place.
Beautiful.
Are you stoked?
Amazing.
It's such an awesome golf course.
Yeah.
Like, it is. There's just not a blade of grass out of place. I mean, it's
I think the first hour we were here, we were saying the
just
same thing.
Just looking at it.
I mean, the every superintendent is just, he is on point. They are docking. Like, I mean, they're looking at the range right now. I don't even see any balls. I'm pretty sure we just crushed balls for 2 hours.
Right.
So, yeah.
Wells Fargo, I mean, going back to the first tee stuff, Wells Fargo, for more than a decade, has been a huge partner of the first tee, and they've this week doubled down on their commitment and their support of the local community through the first tee. Just reflecting a little bit on the clinic that you were just a part of, what does that mean to you to tie all those things together, your work with the first tee and young people?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Wells Fargo is, like you said, it's 20 years, which is incredible, right? I mean, we're very thankful for their partnership, because without them, we don't have this tournament, right? And so, and everything that they do, not just with this tournament, but in the way that they run their business, and I just think it's incredible what they're able to do, right? And for them to care enough about the younger generations of golf to support the first tee, I think it's amazing. It's awesome. It's awesome for them to see how much kids love this game, how much they want to be a part of it, how much golf has grown over the last 20 years, and want to, you know, not just put money into it, but put people into it that love what they're doing.
Right.
You know, because it's easy to just throw money at something and grow it and make it big. But, like, when you truly care about something like Wells Fargo does about the first tee and all that, and you have people in there that love what they're doing with the kids and growing that, that's pretty awesome.
How does it feel that you were tapped to lead something like that? Because they saw something in you and said, you are the person we want to speak to the next generation.
I might not have been their first choice. I might have been the second or third or fourth. They make me feel good and tell me I was the first.
However it shook out.
Yeah, however it shook out. I had to MC it, right? Yeah. So, but no, I mean, it's special. I mean, you know, like I said, I'm a father. And so, like, being there, you know, I treat it as if I would treat my kids being in there. Yeah. How I would want someone to talk to my kids.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And interact with them. And so my kids, unfortunately, couldn't be there. They're, I think, probably getting up from a nap about 30 minutes ago, hopefully. Cross my fingers. Hopefully they slept.
You'll find out soon.
I'll find out soon. Yeah. My wife. But when I look out in that crowd and I see those kids, I try to see my kids and how I would want someone to interact with them.
As a golfer, as a professional golfer, you're an entrepreneur as well.
Yep.
You are a small business sort of in your own right.
Yep.
Can you reflect on any of that, like your relationship with entrepreneurship?
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of entrepreneurs, right? And we're independent contractors, right?
Yeah.
We you know, if we don't make the cut, we don't get any money, right? All those things. But I think being your own boss is cool, right? But also too, it comes with a lot of responsibility, because it's easy for me to say, hey, I'm gonna sit on my butt, I'm on the PGA Tour, I won last year, and not really care about anything right now, right? So being an entrepreneur, you're your own boss. You have to tell yourself to buck up and let's go, you know, and time to get going. You know, I haven't had the year I've wanted to so far this year. I know what lays ahead of me, and so I'm excited and geared up to ready to go do that, right? I know I got good golf in front of me. You know, I don't, might come this week, might come next week, who knows, right? But I'm working really hard, and so I think that's what entrepreneurs do. You have to work really, if you have to work hard, you have to be able to get up and get up and grind. You know, my coach Sewell always told me, he's my coach at Alabama, you know, you got to find it in the dirt, right? Sometimes you just got to get out in the dirt and you just got to grind.
Yeah.
And I feel like with entrepreneurs, that's what they do.
When you're preparing for something like this, do you lean more toward the process of preparing for Wells Fargo Championship, or are you reaching for a goal?
For me, I think it's more about the process, right? And I'm not just quoting Saban here when I talk about that. I think that's the key for every week. You know, I have goals that I have written at the beginning of the year that I want to achieve, and those goals haven't changed, right? And so some of them I thought were super out there goals, and some of them I thought were really obtainable goals, right? And so, but for me, I think each week it's the, like I said with the cards, right? It's a process. What card am I being dealt today? You know, I might wake up tomorrow and be like, man, swing doesn't really feel that great. How am I gonna? All right, so that's the card I'm dealt. Swing doesn't feel good, but I know that, right? My mind knows that, so I'm not gonna get really frustrated if I hit a bad shot because it doesn't feel that great. How am I gonna manage around this golf course?
Right.
How am I gonna figure it out, even not with my best stuff? And at the end of the day, can I live with that?
Mm.
Right. Because at the end of the round, as long as I gave it everything I got, well, then that's all I can do. If it's 75 or if it's 65. I gave it everything I got, right? I think when golfers get frustrated is when they know that they might have left something out there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where they go, man, I just wish my attitude would have been a little better, or I just wish I would have had a better thought process, or I wish I would have committed, right? I feel like a lot of golfers say that. I wish I would have just committed more to the shot I wanted to hit. You know, and so instead of, because when you have good weeks, you do those things, right?
Yeah.
And so I think this week, you know, for me, it's, I want to have the passion and the love for it, right? I want to go out and enjoy the game that I love to play. Whatever card I get dealt, I'm going to fight, right? And then I'm just going to go out and do the best that I can and leave it all out there. That's all I can do.
And go create, too.
Go create, yeah. Absolutely. It's a golf course, too, where you can be creative, right? You can hit any shot you want to, which is really cool.
Is that fun for you to go out there and visualize? And
yeah, I'm a very visual guy, right? And so I see shots. I like to create shots. And that brings out the 12-year-old in me, right? When you're on the range, you just go, man, I just want to hit it dead straight. Like, I don't think anybody said that. Like, watch this cut.
Right?
Like, watch this hook. Like, watch how far I can do this, right? And so I think that's – and, like, you know, when you watch Bubba Watson play golf, I mean, buddy, it's incredible, right?
Paintbrush.
I mean, even Scotty and Tiger and Rom and Justin Thomas, like, all these guys, man, they hit shots like 12-year-olds, man. They're creative. And so I think that, you know, going out there with that mindset this week it's going to be nice.
I love it.
Should we hit a couple of meat and potatoes?
Yes. We got to hit you with one.
These are the questions that we get every guest with.
Okay.
Those kids were hitting some of our questions. I was a little concerned that they would ask this question.
Biting our steeds.
But what is your favorite golf smell?
Dig back into the recesses of your mind.
Say, right. Golf smell. This is going to sound really weird, but a new pair of shoes.
That's not weird at all.
You get a fresh set of shoes after you've kind of sweat in the ones you've had. You know what the ones that are nasty smell like.
You can't get the fuck out of those, no matter how much
deodorant or powder or whatever you put
they're
in there.
Cooked. Smells like cooked. Trunk of car.
So like I think like a new pair of shoes and like you know and like when you get up to the golf course when it's 7 o'clock. And you know, cutting the grass and all that. I mean, that's pretty cool too.
What are you rocking right now? What's the shoes?
I got the FootJoy Traditions
right now.
FootJoysman.
Yeah,
I love it.
Do you think you could identify the shoe based on the smell?
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Like, could you
like a sommelier?
Yeah. Could you differentiate
a sock sommelier?
I don't want to answer that because I think people might judge me if I say yes. They're like, man, this guy like walks around the locker room smelling people's shoes. I do not do
he's
that.
He's back.
He's not a
piece guy. Back. I knew he was coming.
He was around here somewhere. That's reasonable.
All right. Let's say you get to pick a song as you're teeing off on one tomorrow. Get you pumped up. Get ready to go. What's the song you're picking?
What's that song? Man, that's a great question. You know, at Zurich, we get to have a walkout song.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a country fan, so it'd have to be something country.
Okay.
You know, heck, I'm not going to lie. I really been liking the Luke Combs Fast Car remix that he did.
Really
I mean, it's a really good song. I love the Tracy Chapman song, too, though. But, I mean, it's a good song. I've been hooked on that song for a while. So.
We hear he golfs, too?
Yes.
Yeah, he plays a little golf.
Yeah, we can get Luke out here.
We just got to look that one right down the barrel. Luke, let's go.
I play golf.
We can play golf anytime.
Come play golf with us.
This camera.
That's right. I'll say it to any camera.
That's right. All right, we'll add... His rendition of Fast Car to the
playlist. We can afford that.
I love that.
Oh yeah.
Well, Trey, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks for coming. I really appreciate it.
Good luck this week.
Absolutely.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you guys. Appreciate it.
We're rooting for you.
Thanks guys. Appreciate it.